Grace, mercy, and peace to each one of you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Would you please bow your head with me? Jesus, I beseech thee, may thy words take root in me. May this gift from heaven enrich me so that I bear fruit for thee. Take them never from my heart till I see thee as thou art, when in heavenly bliss and glory I shall greet thee and adore thee. Amen. Please be seated. There's nothing quite like good fresh fruit in season, is there? It's one of the nice things about summertime, isn't it? I remember the times when I was young, and we would go to the strawberry fields and pick strawberries, and go to the peach orchard and buy peaches, and go pick blackberries in the blackberry patch out by the side of the road, and sometimes go to the blueberry field, the blueberry farm, and pick blueberries. And if all that fruit was half as good as I remember it, it must have really been something, because my mouth still waters sometimes when I think about it. That's why people plant fruit trees and grapevines and things like that in their backyard, isn't it? So they can enjoy that fresh, juicy fruit in season. There's just nothing quite like fresh fruit in season. And it's no wonder then that this image of fruit is used several times in the Bible, and including our lesson for this morning. Our lesson is found in chapter 15, and beginning with verse 5. Jesus says this, "I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit." There it is. There's the fruit idea, isn't it? "For without me, you can do nothing." What does Jesus mean when he says, "I am the vine and you are the branches"? Well, obviously he doesn't mean we're sticks of wood, right? We're growing out of a literal vine. He doesn't mean that. This is an analogy that he's using. And in fact, the analogy begins way back in verse 5 and runs for several verses, even beyond our passage. And what it's describing is a relationship. Bless you. It's a relationship between he and the disciples, right? A relationship that he likens to himself being the vine and they the branches. And so in this relationship, we first of all see that there is that which is most important and that which is less important, right? Which is most important? Well, the vine, of course, right? I pruned off some branches from an apple tree this summer. And you know what? Every one of those branches is dead now. Why? Because branches have no life in themselves. They obtain their life from the stem. Jesus is the stem. He is the vine. He is of the utmost importance, is what he's saying. He is of the utmost importance, and if we are to have life, then we must be attached to him. We'll talk about that attachment again in just a moment. But secondly, then, this is a fruitful relationship, a fruit-bearing relationship. "He who abides in me and I in him," he says, "bears much fruit." What does abide mean? He who abides in me. Well, what do you mean when you say to someone, maybe you've never said this, but "welcome to my humble abode," right? It's the place where you live. It's where you stay, right? You live there. That's what Jesus means. It's where we stay. It's where we live. We live in him. We stay with him, by him, close to him, in him. That's what he means, right? And what kind of fruit is this he's talking about, right? Well, it's spiritual fruit, of course. And the Bible actually talks about spiritual fruit in several places. For example, in the book of Philippians, It is called the peaceable fruit of righteousness. In Galatians, St. Paul puts it this way. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. As I read that list, it occurs to me some of those fruits, or some of that fruit, is intensely personal. It's experienced inwardly, right? Peace, right? It's an inward thing that you experience. Now, maybe someone can notice, right, under certain conditions that you are at peace, but generally that's a personal thing. However, there are other of these, in this list of the fruit of the Spirit, that are observable by others, right? Gentleness, patience. Those are observable by others, right? Like a red ripe tomato on a vine, when you walk past it, you can see it. So some of this fruit is intensely personal. Others may be personal, but it can be visible to others, and some is both. For example, self-control. Now, there's a fruit that should characterize our lives when others are watching and when others are not watching, right? When we're by ourselves and our own sinful flesh is tempting us, or when we're in a group of others and they are tempting us, that self-control is a fruit that ought to be visible to others. And I think there's a word of application here, at least one that occurs to me, and that is this. As I run through this list of characteristics, and if I observe my own life, how fruitful am I? How fruitful have I been? Am I a fruitful branch? When I read those characteristics, goodness, self-control, patience, and all the rest, how am I doing? And I'll be honest. Sometimes I look at myself, that fruit is kind of scarce. And I'd be surprised that if you looked at yourself, you wouldn't see that there are times when that fruit is very scarce in your life too, in a moment of introspection, right? So I guess what we need to do is just work harder to bear more fruit, right? It's not what Jesus says, right? He didn't say to us, whoever works harder at it will bear much fruit. He didn't say that at all. What he said is this, the one who abides in me and in whom I abide, that person bears much fruit. We said that to abide in him is to be attached to him like a branch to a vine. What is it to be attached to Jesus, to abide in him? It's very simple. It means to trust him. To trust in him as my own Savior. And somebody in here is probably saying, trust in him? I can't even face him after the last life I've lived. How can I face him? Well, let me tell you something. The reason you can't face him is because you don't understand him. Because you see, he eats and drinks with sinners. He eats and drinks with people like you and me. He loves people like you and me. In fact, the life he led and the blood he shed was for people like you and me. So that he could wash away every sin and every stain in your life. All of the ugliness, all of the unfruitfulness, he has removed it all from you. You really can face him. And you can trust him. You can trust a Savior like that. And so I won't tell you to work harder, but what I will invite you to do is this, to stay close to your Savior by reading your Bible every day, by praying to him every day, at length, by taking the Lord's Supper every opportunity that you can get. And when you do that, you will be abiding in him. He will work it within you, work that faith within you, and he will make sure that you are fruitful. And remember, there's nothing like fresh Christian fruit in season. May God grant you his peace, and may that peace that passes all understanding keep your heart and mind in him unto life eternal. Amen. Would you please bow your head with me? Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you that you have crowned the fields with your blessing once more and have permitted us to gather in the fruits of the earth. Especially we ask that you would bless and protect that living seed of your own word that you have sown into our hearts, that we may bear abundant fruits of righteousness. Grant it, Lord, through Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.